Hey, what's up, folks? Welcome to another way too early preview and breakdown of the Texas 2024 season. We're on the second game of the season. We're talking about the defending national champions. Always a lot of buzz when you're talking about playing the defending champs, the Michigan Wolverines. The Longhorns will be on the road for that game. We already know the kickoff time. It's going to be an early one. And I believe the last time I looked at a line, yeah, I could be off. I know, CJ, you keep up with these a little bit more than I do. I believe the line was at 3.5. Texas is a 3.5-point favorite. So we'll be breaking that down here on this edition of the Way Too Early Preview and Breakdown. I'm Lifetime Longhorn Rod Favors, joined by fellow Lifetime Longhorn, my man CJ Bogle, always working hard for the people. All right, CJ, let's start getting into it. Let's start on offense. I think on defense, there's a lot to really break down. Let's start on offense. I mean, you talk about Michigan that lost with 13 players to the NFL draft, a ton of turnover because they lost Jim Harbaugh, who was kind of the identity of this program, right? A Michigan man himself. So they're still playing a Harbaugh brand of football, but they lost the man behind that vision. He's gone to the NFL, taking a lot of the coaching staff with him. Strength and conditioning coach is gone. Defensive coordinator change. A lot of coaching change, administrative staff changes as well. What are your thoughts just overall looking at this matchup, Texas versus Texas at Michigan?
I think it's a lot of unknowns on the offensive side for Michigan, whether that be at quarterback, whether that be at wide receiver. One thing is constant, though. We know what the strength of Michigan is, and that's in the trenches. And we know what they want to do, and that's going to be pound the rock, own the time of possession, and dominate via the running game. So when you look at it from maybe some of these question marks that are kind of standing out early whenever you watch Michigan, I don't think it's as big a deal as you would think about for other programs, right? You know what their identity is. They're coming back with Donovan Edwards. We know he's a very talented running back. We all watched the national championship game in which he dominated. That's going to be their strength. Now, there are going to be some changes, right? You don't have your first-round quarterback anymore. Roman Wilson was a good number one wide receiver in college. Cornelius Johnson was a number three who they liked as kind of a bigger body on the outside as well. And then you have to replace your entire offensive line. And that's not easy, right? We're talking about it from Texas's perspective, where you return 4 out of 5 and you're sitting there thinking, all right, this is great. We're in great shape coming into this season. Well, Michigan's on the complete opposite side of that spectrum, in which all of their offensive linemen were essentially drafted or departed for the NFL. Here's where I kind of put pause to this. You look at it from a left to right stance on their offensive line. Senior transfer, grad transfer, redshirt junior, redshirt junior, redshirt sophomore. So the youngest kid on that offensive line at right tackle has still been in the program for 2 or 3 years, right? He's going into his third year with the program. He's been on campus for 2 seasons already. Who knows? I don't know if he was an early enrollee or not, but listen, those are 4 semesters that you have already been in the program with, whether it be Sharon Moore or Jim Harbaugh. That mentality and kind of mantra inside the walls at Michigan has been the same, and that's been dominant offensive line play. And I watched a little bit of their spring game earlier before we started taping, Rod. That first drive with Donovan Edwards in the backfield behind that first-team offensive line going against Mason Graham and Kenneth Grant, 33 rushing yards on 6 attempts. That offensive line is moving bodies.
Yeah.
And that running back certainly knows how to get down the field. So the quarterback, we'll talk about that here in a second, but I'm not too worried about it for Michigan in terms of moving the rock. Their MO is going to be pounding the rock and moving bodies via that offensive line.
I agree totally with what you said about, they don't have the frontline starters they had from last year, but they still have guys who have been in the program. They were recruited to play this brand of football, the Harbaugh brand of football, to play bully ball. They also got Josh Preeb. He's a grad transfer from Northwestern. He was an all-Big Ten, third team, all-Big Ten selection. He's going to be thrown in there, too, in the interior O-line. I agree with you. I think because Jim Harbaugh was building this thing for so long, he's been recruiting his type of guys, right? OKG, our kind of guy for a while. I think and Harbaugh football is built around the offensive line. It's built around the trenches. So I'm with you. I think the offensive line, although not with the proven commodities they've once had, I think the O-line is going to be okay. I think more so the quarterback position is where most of the question marks lie for them. But I looked at the offensive line And a lot of those guys, you're talking about guys who are a veterans, may not be experienced, but they're veterans within the program, knowing that system. And we know they want to run the football. So even when they throw the football, hell, most of the time it'll be thrown to their tight end. Now, they do have an all-world tight end, also a signature of Harbaugh football, right? Harbaugh's brand of football. Colston Loveland is one of the best tight ends in all of college football. 649 receiving yards, first among returning tight ends in college football. He's going to be there, honestly, one of the focal points of that passing attack, especially built off the running game and the play action. But they got to have somebody to throw the football. And for me, the biggest question mark, uncertainty for them, has to be at the quarterback position. There are three different guys, actually, that are in the running to win the job. Alex Origi, Davis Warren. They were the starters in the spring game that you watched. And then there's Jack Tuttle, apparently, out of nowhere. He was granted a seventh year of eligibility, missed spring because of an injury. And now they're saying that dude could be also put into the mix as a guy who could compete for the position. I don't even know. Have you heard more than me about who Alex Origi, I'm assuming, is the front runner to win the job right now?
Yeah, to me, it's Alex Orgy's job to lose. And I say that because I think he brings a little bit more explosiveness. Obviously, he can run. He's a great athlete. The question mark is, what can he do with his precision, whether it be crossing routes where Texas has been beat a couple times. We saw in the spring game, that's not necessarily his strength, is throwing to a moving target. Comebacks, curls, stop routes, he's great. You know, those quick screens, if he can get to his back foot and throw to a spot, that's exactly what you want him kind of throwing in rhythm. And similarly to what we saw a year ago with Jalen Milroe at Alabama. Texas jumped a lot of those routes now. You look at Jaren Thompson's interception. You look at Jahdae Barron's interception. Those were all premeditated. All right, I know exactly what's coming in this situation. I'm going to jump the route if it's there, and we're going to get the football back to our offense. I think that would be a similar approach with Alex Origi at the quarterback position. Now, I'm a little bit intrigued by Davis Warren. That's an interesting one to me. I thought, watching that spring game, Rod, he was the best natural thrower of the football on this Michigan roster. Of course, he was able to hit outbreaking routes. He had some of those big throws with pressure coming in his face a little bit as well. So to me, I think he's more of a natural passer, a natural distributor of the football than what you're seeing with Alex Origi. Of course, things could change over the next two or three months, but just based off of what I saw in that game and kind of how I have heard about these guys behind the scenes, it makes sense. But with this running attack, I think if you want to go the read option route, a dual threat running back, quarterback situation, Alex Orgy's your guy. I don't think Jack Tuttle is going to be a big threat to this quarterback battle. We saw what he can do at Indiana. It's not a whole lot. Of course, he was there with Michael Penix under him a little bit as well with Kalen DeBoer. So he's had his chance 7 years into college. I think it's going to be between Davis Warren and Alex Orgy, and I do think Orgy provides a little bit more spark to that offense.
Yeah, you have the factor of unpredictability, right? Play breaks down, much like Jalen Milroe, as you mentioned. Play breaks down, second reaction plays. I'm with you. Definitely seems like the more dangerous person in that offense. But think about what they asked from J.J. McCarthy. They didn't ask a lot from J.J. McCarthy.
Right.
That's the kind of the beauty of the offense. Yes, he was asked to just manage the game and be efficient, and he was highly efficient. I believe he ended up with just 22 touchdowns, 4 interceptions. 72% completion percentage. So he was efficient. I think that's what they want. That's why I wonder if the Davis Warren option may be better, just because of efficiency. Sometimes the unpredictability of a guy who's a really good athlete at the position like Orgy, maybe he wants to be overly reliant on that and doesn't want to work within the scheme, the system, be on schedule, be on time, rhythm. That's kind of what you're talking about. So it'll be interesting which way they go.
We saw Penn State, you know, the Penn State game. Michigan won that game running the ball about 30 times in a row, taking the ball out of their quarterback's hands. So it's not out of the picture to think this whole conversation is a moot point, right? I mean, there's no reason to think that a quarterback in the Michigan offense is going to be a reason why they win or lose football games, because we saw it a year ago. It really didn't matter whether the ball was in their hands or not. Now, I do think they have two really talented wide receivers, and we've talked about Colston Loveland, the tight end. He's all world, probably the top tight end in this this season of college football coming up. Tyler Morse, really talented wide receiver. He's kind of your do-it-all underneath intermediate route guy. Really big fan of his coming out of college or coming out of high school. He's going to be that number one this year with Roman Wilson departing. And then I wanted to single out Frederick Moore because we saw it in the spring game as well. Two catches, 76 yards. Down the field, he creates separation. And whether or not you get lulled to sleep or not with the Michigan offense, he's the guy you got to account for going deep. Similarly to what we've seen over the past few years with Xavier Worthy, that speed can beat you deep as well. But Rod, whenever you play certain offenses like this, and I'm sure it's going to be hounded on in film and preparations and team meetings, specifically with the defensive backs, when it goes run, 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 pass, run, run, it's hard not to fall asleep as a defensive back. But those are the two guys you got to keep a close eye on.
Totally agree with you. And they almost force you into playing the man-to-man coverage. They pound the rock, dedicate themselves to the run. And then as a defense, the natural adaptation adjustment is, all right, let's just put more guys in the box. They're just pounding the rock. We can't let them just beat us down the field 3 yards in a cloud of dust every time. And when you, at your most vulnerable, decide, all right, we're going to put our guys on an island, that's when they want to test you deep and throw it deep. And if they're efficient with it, that can be a problem. So I'm with you on that for Texas. So let's get to the offense. One more other thing. I was listening to Sherrone Moore at a coaching clinic, and this was actually probably a couple of years ago, but he kept talking about the efficiency of Michigan in their two-back sets. Now, they're talking about original two-back, 21 personnel with a fullback, all right, an old-school fullback. I think it was number 44 he was referring to, but he did drop these numbers on the clinic audience, the coaches there. He said, they were 100% efficient in short yardage with a fullback, 85% efficient on the goal line with a fullback. That's 1 to 3 yards. 65% efficiency passing, 65% more efficiency passing with a fullback on the field. It was number 44. And he said it helps us become multiple in the run game. Basically a third gap schemes, a third inside zone schemes, about 10% duo, and the rest kind of pin and pull stuff. So he talks about he has a lot of pride in their 21 personnel. So if anybody was concerned whether they would just play power football against Texas and try to play bully ball, there will be situations where they will just try to play bully ball and force Texas to match up with them in base personnel. And if you get the sub packages, take Jadae Barron out of that nickel position and put him at corner, because Texas will have to play him in base a lot of times. As a matter of fact, that may be what they want. They may be saying, you know what, to hell with all that speed on the field, let's just get in base and see if Texas can stop us in base personnel, running the football, running power, running gap schemes right at them, especially without Tavondre Sweat and without Byron Murphy. Let's see if they can handle that. So it's going to be really interesting how Texas adapts to that offense that they're going to play, because they're used to playing – Texas defense is adapted to play spread teams, spread schemes, pace and space schemes. This is going to be more of a throwback hardball ball going up against. All right, let's talk about the defense, because – there's a lot of layers. First of all, you're going up against – this is arguably the best defense potentially in the country. They're going to be that good. They'll have the best D-tackle duo in whatever – Texas fans, remember what Texas had last year in Tavondre Sweat and Byron Murphy? That's what Michigan has this year with Mason Graham and Kenneth Grant, basically. Is that how you see it, CJ?
Yeah, definitely. And I think without a question of a doubt, those are the best – that's the best duo interior defensive linemen in the entire country.
No doubt. Yeah, I'm with you on that. And in addition, that's where it starts. But they imagine if Texas had Tavondre Sweat and Byron Murphy, and then the best cornerback in college football. And Will Johnson is so good, he'd have been drafted as the top cornerback in the last draft, in this previous draft. But he's going to be a top 10 pick. Hell, he might even be a top 5. I haven't looked at draft rankings coming up for the next draft. But he's going to be a top 10 pick. I can guarantee you that. And he's the best cornerback in college football. So combined, a guy that can shut down defender at cornerback with the two best D tackles in the game. And they got a hell of an edge defender in Josiah Stewart, who's a really good player, 17% pressure rate for him. I've been hearing a lot about this, the linebacker, Jashawn Barham. Have you heard about this young man, a Maryland transfer, dealing with some injuries, but apparently he's a freak and they're really excited about him. Rod Moore is a really good safety for Michigan. They got NFL players at every level of that defense, and they got and they've had NFL defensive coordinators for the last three coordinators they've had. And they had it was Mike McDonald, who we now know is the head coach for Seattle Seahawks, and Jesse Minter, and now Wink Martindale. And the beauty of that hire is, CJ, they were all running Wink Martindale's system. Wink Martindale was the defensive coordinator with the Ravens from 2018, I believe, to 2021. And during that time, Jesse Minter was the working with the DBs, I believe, and Mike McDonald worked with the linebackers there as one of the assistant coaches. So their system is essentially, they were running the Wink Martindale system there at Michigan. And now Wink Martindale himself is going to go run that system. So same system that the guys have been running. A couple of tweaks and changes in terms of terminology. I heard Wink talking about that. So some changes in terminology, but still the base concepts, all the stuff that they run. So the guys still can have familiarity and knowledge of the system. The veterans, that's still an advantage for them. And the guys they were recruiting and bringing in via the transfer portal, via recruiting class, those are still the types of athletes with the frames, with the bodies, the skill sets, the type skill types that they were looking for that specific system. So nothing really changes defensively at all.
That, listen, I am a big fan of Wink Martindale. I think the way that he causes confusions with his fronts and his blitz schemes is very problematic for opponents, their opposing offenses. That's going to cause an issue for Texas. And it to me, the big key is whether or not DJ Campbell, Cam Williams, early on in the season, can they play cohesively? Because we saw it a little bit last year, especially early in the year. DJ got better at it in terms of picking up when guys are twisting and stunting in front of him. Whether or not they cross his face and he's already locked on, he's going to shift off and come pick it up. We've got to see that more consistently early. And he's doing it without a guy that started for 5 years, right? Yeah. It's no more Christian Jones. It's going to be Cam Williams. That's where I think Michigan will target a little bit as well. And I say that because, you know, we talk about the interior guys. They get all the love. Mason Graham, Kenneth Grant. But there's a number of guys that Michigan has on the edges that are very talented. A pair of DFW kids as well. First, Josiah Stewart. We need to single him out. He's looking like a guy who could be an all Big Ten selection at the end of 2024 as well. But you know, Eda, Ike Iwuna, both, I mean, one from Colleyville, the other from Garland.
Nice.
6'5 a pop. I mean, those guys got length, they got speed, they got athleticism. So again, we've talked about the departures from Michigan. They're again loaded in terms of talent in the trenches. And it certainly helps when you have an all-world cornerback out wide with Will Johnson to lock down those intermediate routes that would help otherwise help get the ball out earlier. So for Texas, the key is getting that running game established early. I think that's going to be the big key there. That way you can build off some quick RPOs, allow Quinn Ewers to get into a rhythm with the 1-2 drop stack, find a guy and deliver the football. So I'm really encouraged by what I saw from Michigan in the spring game. I thought that was a solid outing defensively. Mm-hmm. But hey, Rod, listen to this. 15 games Michigan played last year. It took 7 for a team to score 14 or more. 11 crazy. Out of the 15 games, their opponents scored less than 14 points. Wow. Including, I believe, 6 straight to start the season. So that's quite the resume there. The question I have with Michigan is we've seen this with Ohio State previously. And I think it's changed a little bit over the last 2 years. Obviously, Michigan's kind of taken over that series as of late. But when you get the good athletes on the outside and you use kind of the underneath crossing routes to beat the man-to-man coverage, will Michigan still have the athletes in the secondary to maintain that defensive presence? That was exactly how they, you know, would start great seasons, 8-0, 8-9-0, whatever, and then they'd fall kind of against the Penn States or the Ohio States, teams with similar wide receiver athletes. I think that might be where Texas gets an advantage with its speed. If Michigan does bring a lot of pressure with the Wink Martindale schemes, that man coverage could be exactly where Texas creates its offense, is via that speed and that explosiveness, whether it be a Silas Bolden, a Matthew Golden, Jonathan Cook, Isaiah Bond. That speed is going to separate if they go man-to-man.
Yep. No, I totally agree with you. The speed Texas is going to bring to the table is different than the speed that Michigan's accustomed to with that defense. Like I said, they operate with a different level of efficiency when it comes to certain concepts. And you just brought up one of them, the twists and stunts up front. They love to run twists and stunts. What I've been looking at also is simulated pressures. I heard Wink Martindale talking about this. he said, you know, he's facing Patrick Mahomes. First year he faced Patrick Mahomes. You know, they hit Patrick Mahomes like 18 times. They were able to get to him. Because Wink Martindale, for those who don't know, Wink Martindale, nobody in the NFL and nobody arguably in college football is going to blitz or has blitz or is as blitz happy as Wink Martindale. The numbers are Wink Martindale, when he was with the Ravens, he either finished first in blitz rate. He actually led the NFL in blitz rate his first 3 years. If you look at combined his first 3 years with the Ravens as their defensive coordinator, and every year since, he's finished no lower than eighth in blitz rate as a defensive mind, a defensive coordinator. Loves to blitz. When even with the Giants, his most recent stop and destination as a DC, they were top three in blitz rate in those 2 years he was there. He loves to blitz. But he tells a story about Patrick Mahomes, how he was blitzing the hell out of Patrick Mahomes and hit him 18 times when they first played him in 2018. And he said Patrick Mahomes got so good at recognizing the blitz, at changing protections, and seeing it coming that he said, to hell with the actual blitz. We got to get pressure. So they went to more simulated pressures. Mm. And that's what I think you're going to get a lot of when they play Quinn. Quinn actually is pretty good versus the blitz. You're going to look at Quinn versus the blitz. He's actually not bad. I think a 64% completion percentage last year versus the blitz. 12 touchdowns, 3 interceptions versus the blitz. It's not bad at all. He's got 26 sacks when he's under pressure. Only 10 versus the blitz. The blitz clears up the picture for him. It cleans it up for him.
It's so weird, isn't it?
Yeah, no, it is weird, but it makes sense that it cleans it up. And he knows, oh, well, that's my read. That's my hot read. Or, oh, if this player is blitzing, automatically it cleans up. Exactly. He's the free rusher. I know exactly where I need to go. What gives Quinn problems are simulated pressures. Look like a blitz, smell like a blitz, feel like a blitz, but it's not a blitz. And you have no idea where the 3 or 4 rushers are coming from. All you know is, well, there are 7 guys here at the line of scrimmage, 7, 8 guys, and they're sending 3 or 4, but I don't know where they're sending them. And my protection may be wrong. Your protection is wrong. You don't know where the free rusher is coming from. A blitz, you kind of know where the free rusher is coming from. It clarifies it for you. You just got to know you're getting rid of football and know where it's going before the free rusher gets home. And that's what I think. I think Wink is going to throw some of that at Quinn because the blitz versus Quinn, man, Sark's got too many built-in fail safes. He loves the screen game. Screen game will kill the blitz. He does that on the outside too. Quinn's got a really quick release from different platforms so that blitzer can be in his face sometimes. He can still deliver the ball on the money. What hurts Quinn is pressure when he doesn't know where it's coming from. And those are simulated pressures, which also, as you pointed out, combined with twists and stunts, so what gave Texas a lot of problems in 2022, combined with twists and stunts, you confuse the blocking scheme as well. And that's what Michigan and Wink Martindale and Jesse Minter and Mike McDonald did as well as any DC out there. You're talking about confusing blocking schemes and using those really creative pressure packages to get simulated pressures that feel like a blitz and look like a blitz, but actually not. I went back and looked at it. Michigan last year in simulated pressures, this is with Minter as the defensive coordinator. They still were top 5 in the Power 5 in simulated pressures. They're going to run a lot of simulated pressures. Yeah, that's definitely one of the things I worry about with Texas and Michigan in that game.
This is exactly the game and why it's so important and valuable for Texas this year to have a veteran center in Jake Majors, a guy that's seen it all in college football, a guy that's had over 40 career starts. He's seen the biggest stages. This is a very important game for Jake Majors to be healthy for, to diagnose who's coming, to be in the film room prepping ahead of time, and then to come out and lead that offensive line unit as well on the road. Luckily, again, for Texas, 11 a.m. kick, so it's not going to be under the lights. It will be a loud environment, but again, a little bit different with 11 a.m. kicks versus night games. So for Texas to go on the road against the defending champions, this is exactly the time frame and time slot that you would like to see it in the day. I know some folks who are big college football fans probably don't agree with that, but for Texas, I think it's very important then. And, of course, for Jake Majors, Quinn Ewers to be on the same page with protections. The running backs here, and this is kind of my question with the running backs this season, which of these guys can lend a shoulder when it comes to pass protection? Who can get in there and take on a linebacker or even chip with an edge rusher on a one-on-one setting. I'm not sure if there's that guy this year. In recent years, it was more Roschon than Bijan. We saw Jonathan Brooks was a plus at it last year. I hope it's CJ Baxter this year, but we'll see. I think that's the big question.
That's a good point there. And one other thing about the defense, I know we're getting ready to wrap it up. I was listening to an interview with Wink Martindale, and he said, and it kind of scared me because this is something I've been saying. It's the future of football is positionless football. It just it's all about when your coach decides to start to embrace it, and if they want to minor in it or major in it. Guys like Kyle Shanahan, they're going to major in it. You know, defensive coordinators like Dan Quinn, they're going to major in it. Yep. And even Sark now is starting to talk about versatility a lot, moving things around. It's only a matter of time if you're a football theorist and a student of the game. I heard Wink Martindale say this. I wrote the quote down. He said that when we are in sub packages, he described his sub packages as positionless defense. He said, my sub packages are positionless defense, which means he's got a lot of guys that he can move around the chessboard to confuse the opposing quarterback. That's something to keep in mind. And he also pointed out that they can set the front in 8 different ways. And all the guys there know this because it was the same thing under Jesse Minter, same system under Mike McDonald. So the looks and presentations you get from Wink Martindale are unbelievable. Just the variety of looks you're gonna get because of how malleable the defense is, how much variety there is. All right. Anything else before we wrap things up here? I know we're not making picks. I'll just say this. I do feel good about Texas in this game because of what CJ mentioned, the speed factor overall. I forgot. Did you see who won the Big Ten like 4x100 relay?
I did not. I missed that.
I want to say it was like Iowa, somebody running. It was basically like this. I'll just say this. The Texas high school the Texas high school track time, the best track time for the 4x1, I believe was in the neighborhood, if not better, than the Big Ten 4x1 champion. I do remember that.
A little bit of a different athlete up north.
It's a different type of speed. That's all. It's just a different type of speed. There you go.
One thing I wanted to highlight, this was just an odd statistic. We talk about the running game. Michigan wants to dominate. Only 3 games last year with a 100-plus-yard rusher. kind of peculiar there. So that tells you, as dominant as that rushing game was, what's more important with Michigan is owning the time of possession.
That's good. That's a great point. And we talked about this with Texas too, right? The way to beat Texas, and we've even seen it, is to play keep away.
Yep.
Ball control. Washington was able to do it really well. We've seen some teams do that. That's the way you want to keep Sark's offense off the field and make them a spectator. All right. Good breakdown there, CJ. Appreciate it. Appreciate all you guys for joining us for another way too early breakdown of Texas upcoming football season. Until next time, for CJ Vogel, I'm Lifetime Longhorn Rod Babers for the On Texas Football family. Welcome.